Hey, this is Matt Irwin, and you're listening to Music City Gold on Penalty Box Radio.
And welcome back to Music City Gold, hosted by Penalty Box Radio. I'm Kyle, your host. He's Daniel.
Hello.
And he's Matt.
Hey, guys.
How was your weekend, everybody?
Not too bad. How about yours, Kyle?
Pretty dull and boring.
Sounds like you had a good weekend at the house, just doing repairs again.
I did. Power washed my house, finally. Got all the shrubs and trees cut down. My house actually looks presentable. My neighbors no longer call me that house of shame.
Pruning the hedges. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm like Kyle. Nothing too exciting. The most noteworthy, I guess, was my dog decided to eat my wife's phone last night, like chew on it and break the screen and all that good stuff.
Oh, wow. No.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I was pretty mad. I was like, come on, really? This phone's worth more than you are. I could just throw you out in the yard easier than I can replace the phone.
Seriously, though, those phone screens are pesky.
So. And the question is, did he eat the whole wheel of cheese and poop in the fridge?
Not even mad.
Actually quite impressed.
Yeah, so we'll see about getting that fixed this week.
I don't know why that came into my head. I just haven't seen that movie in so long. I just love Anchorman.
Not Anchorman 2, though.
Basically I didn't sucked. See it, but I all the thing I heard, I just they were like, you don't need to go see it. It's terrible. Yeah.
Any of those comedy movies that were basically cult classics, after you get past the first one, it's just done. It's one and done, in my opinion. Don't make it a second one.
So. You guys ever seen Office Space?
Nope.
No.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking about cult movies? That's a good one to go see. Being an IT person, it's a little old school space in my heart.
Yes, Kyle, you are an IT person. So
now we'll say, Matt, have you seen Mighty Ducks yet?
Like the classic one?
Yeah, movie. So did you know the NHL Network?
Yeah,
played it last
I've
night?
Been seeing that like replete all over my Twitter feed. I was wondering what's going on with that. This is all over, all over Twitter.
Thought that was pretty cool. Like the Preds are tweeting it, the mascots are tweeting it, NHL, the network was tweeting it. I was like, wow. We're actually kind of getting unified together in one common goal before the season starts and we all hate each other.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get everyone, you know, all the juices flowing again, considering opening week is coming up, so.
Yeah, after I saw the first couple of posts, I was thinking, maybe this is like every team is doing this, not just like us or Nashville-related stuff. It must be a thing going on.
I tell you what, though, going into the weekend, I was super excited because I knew that this week hockey was back. I mean, I left with a little pep in my step
out
the doors on Friday. I was like, yes, it is back. I get a long weekend coming up, and hockey returns on Thursday. It's a good week.
Part of me actually was so hyped for hockey that even yesterday I was checking the app to see if there's any games that were decided to be played early so I could watch them.
Yeah.
No.
Preseason was kind of like that appetizer, and now we're getting to the bread and butter. You know, everybody's ready, table's set. Just waiting for it to happen.
Or as I like to call it, an appetizer.
Wow.
Goodness.
Considering I had no big news over the weekend, the Predators had some big news that dropped today. Kyle, what happened?
We got our roster set.
Finally. Mind sync. So, made a couple cuts.
We did. Kamenov and Goudreau got sent back down to the minors. So, Milwaukee would be happy to have them. I think that if Kamenov keeps doing the way he's doing, I think next season he might be able to make the jump finally to the big league.
I think the same could be said for Freddie as well. He looked really strong in the preseason games that I watched. It did seem that he could not capitalize as well on certain plays. I think it was that one feed from Yossi on the back post, wide open. But he was at least getting himself in the position to score and have that opportunity. And he as always, he's extremely fast and physical, so... I really think that was probably their pep talk. Continue, you know, what you're doing. You're taking the right steps. Be ready, because if there's injuries, he's obviously, I think, the next one to get called up to replace someone.
Well, speaking of called up, Girard's the one who got called up. That was the big news for today.
Yes. So I guess that's really the direct replacement while Ellis is going to be on the injured reserve. Quite interesting seeing some of the pairings. Or projected pairings for the defense. It looks like we're going to have Yossi, Irwin, Ekholm, Subban, Emelin, Weber, And then our extras are Gerard and Beteto. How do you guys feel about that?
I actually like it. I'm curious about how many games they're going to play Gerard, because they can only play him 9 games before he burns a year on his entry-level contract. And if it gets to the point that we get close to that, they're going to probably send him back down to his junior team.
Yeah.
Now, this was it's so funny. Taylor and I were talking about this at work today, and we were saying what we might see happen is you might see some of those other rookies like Carrier and Daughtry kind of rotate in as the extras throughout the season, and they'll just sprinkle them in and not use them up to the 9 games. But they can have that option to do that.
It's just going to be sad because I hope they just don't burn him through 9 immediately.
On the front end, you mean?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be spaced out.
So, I hadn't considered that, spacing it out, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously your core 6 there are going to start most of your games, especially coming out fresh on a new season, at least the first month or so. Then maybe on some of the longer road trips in particular, I think you're also going to see that with Saros this year. You're going to see him sub in on some of the longer road trips to give Peck some rest, because Peck always plays better on some extra rest. So I think the same deal is going to be said for Gerard.
I would say at that point you put Saros, I would put him on the front end of a back-to-back.
Oh, for sure.
I know last season he played the back end of a back-to-back, but I'd just like flip him, make him play the front.
Yeah, we'll kind of see how that pans out and how the schedule is looking. I think just briefly glancing over the schedule, it looked like we had more away games through December, and then we had more home games. That could be totally wrong. It was just a quick glance, but
we always seem to have that very long road trip first quarter of the season.
Out the stretch, yeah.
I know for the forward lines, we've got Victor Arvidsson, Fiala, Forsberg,
Shocker.
Hartnell on the second line with Bonino. What about
and
that?
And Fiala. I'm not going to lie.
You had Fiala on the first line. Fiala's on the second line.
Oh, my bad.
It's Jofa on the first line, and Fiala's on the second.
Well, you know.
Projected.
Forsberg, Fiala.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's start with an F.
Yes. But Innocent, yeah, having Fiala, Bonino, Hartnell on that second line.
I'm not going to lie. I saw this projected matchup today, or not matchup, line projection, and I was pretty excited about it.
Oh, definitely.
You're going to have someone who flourished on a third line in Pittsburgh come up to your second line, get more ice time. Then you're bringing back Hartnell, a super physical presence in front of the net. And then on top of it, Fiala is looking fantastic. What did he? I mean, he was incredible in the preseason. Looked like our best player by far in the last preseason.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they gave him some cybernetics for his leg.
I don't know how, but I mean, literally 3 months ago, kid shatters his femur, and he's already back out there skating and looks better than before the injury.
It's robotics. So, he's got a robotics in him.
Easy IT guy. But seriously, though, I'm super excited for that second line. And then, of course, you have Salty, Sisson, Smith, McLeod, Yarncroke, and Watson. How do you all feel about the third and fourth line? I just got a big thumbs down from Matt. How about you go ahead, Matt?
Yeah, I'm not too hot on that fourth line at all.
But what did you expect?
That is our fourth line.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you really expect was going to happen?
Who did you want?
I didn't expect anything.
Who did you want
better,
on our fourth line?
It just hurts to look at it. Like, all right, first line, awesome. Jofa, you know, what a historic, like, okay, I can see this coming back. That's cool.
We're getting the band back together.
We had some questions, you know, we might split that line up, but it's cool to see him back. I know what that line looks like, and I know how they produce. Second line, like you said, all really interested in Hartnell, Bonino, Fiala. That's a great line. But as it goes down the list, I get less and less excited. I'm like, oh, that's still a thing? He's still there?
Let me make a little, you know, suggestion here. Sisson's also bumped up and played like first line time when Joey was down. Ended up scoring a hat trick.
Yeah, lucky.
Lucky, I know. But he's getting more experience, and that's the key part. And then how do you think about Salty's performance during the preseason?
Salty's preseason performance.
I think
was awesome.
He looked fantastic. And for a third line player, if he continues that and he gets third line production like that, I'm okay with our third line being like that. Smith, on the other hand, I got some questions on Smith.
I keep waiting for Smith to get that demotion back down to the fourth line and bump Watson up instead.
I've had that opinion on Smith for like 2 or 3 years.
He's,
you guys are just finally catching up to it.
So, I've always had that opinion that Smith is, to me, he's like that iffy player. watching his performance, watching him literally smith it a few times.
Smith it. For his salary, it's questionable. He's so hit and miss. He's not consistent. I think if he can work on just being consistent this year, don't go for, you know, anything spectacular. Don't set a lofty goal. Just get something that's obtainable.
For his money, I couldn't have him on the fourth line. Like, that would not equate. That
exactly.
doesn't equal.
That's why he's on the third line. So,
but that means he needs to be stepping it up then, because if you're even questioning, oh, this guy might should be on the fourth line, and we're paying him third line money.
Well, I'm hoping.
But there was times last year that Lavi did basically as punishment say, okay, you're not doing well. You're going to the fourth line.
He did. And that was kind of a good wake-up call for him. And I think that if Salty stays hot and then Sissons starts playing to that level, you know, and gets that extra experience, I think that they can bring him up and boost him up a little bit. Give, you know, Smith some extra looks for the third line. So we'll see how that happens. But I'm pretty excited about the first two lines for sure. I'm almost more excited for the second line. I guess you're more, Matt, excited for the first line because it's like the band's getting back together. NSYNC's back. And
I feel like Backstreet's back would be better.
He's super excited. No way. So,
well, I, of course, like the defense, so I thought it was interesting to put Josi and Irwin on the top pair because Subban and Ekholm was the ones. They were a common pairing last year, so the difference here is Josi not getting Ellis. So you're letting Irwin step up to first-line minutes rather than have the consistent pair from last year, Ekholm and Subban, be first pair. They're slotted down number two. What's your opinion on that, letting Irwin step up?
No problem with it. He had a very good first half of the season last year. He stepped in where he needed to on the second line. I think he's earned the chance to prove him on the first line. Now, obviously, when Ellis comes back, it's going to get shifted back around.
Yeah, this whole defensive core is going to be in flux throughout the whole season just because of the Ellis injury. You're talking about end of December, he comes back. I mean, it's going to change rapidly. I mean, we can talk about the projected.
I mean, I'm looking at the list here. I'm fine with Ekholm, Subban being on the second line. Subban's always been more of a second line player for our second pairing player for our team. That's where he just fits in better. Josi's always been a first pair player. He did that with Shea. The third pairing is kind of where it gets iffy. Because I absolutely believe Weber is where he's at. He needs to be on the third pair.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Emelin, I really think Boteto is going to be your odd man out. Like, on the list here has eight.
Yeah.
And you got to have 6D, and you generally carry one extra, but at this point we're carrying one extra forward, and we're carrying two extra D. So I think Gerard's going to be, as we said earlier, sitting out a couple of games, and it's going to be Emelin, Weber, Emelin, Boteto, Weber, Boteto. That third pair is going to flux back and forth.
So when Ellis comes back, Irwin drops the third line?
I think so.
With Weber?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the point I was making, Ekholm and Subban is a strong second pairing.
They were very
strong.
The
question is, Josi's obviously first, no doubt, but the question is Josi and Irwin together a first-line combo? Since Irwin is obviously weaker and may probably third line material, does that bump the pairing down? Are they first pair material now that Irwin's on the line? That was the question.
I think it's definitely worth a look.
It's more balanced. It's not top heavy. I will give it that because I think Josi will bring Irwin up, but it's like I said, it's gonna be a yin and yang kind of.
One good thing about the experience D is I've made mention of it before is they will counterbalance the more inexperienced or lesser talented player. So for that fact, that because Josi is so good, I think he will elevate Irwin. So the first line should be fun. And that keeps Ekholm and Subban on the second line as a pairing, which where they're familiar with last year too.
And I will say that as Ellis sits on injured reserve, I'm looking here at the list we got in front of us, and I see that Marian Hossa got put on injured reserve today.
He did.
I feel kind of sympathetic towards him because he has been a staple, really, for the Chicago Blackhawks for a long time. Actually, several teams. I mean,
one of my
favorite
players,
he's a championship caliber player. The skin disease it seems quite serious because, I mean, for a hockey player to not play due to something like that, it's kind of sad that he'll probably finish his career like this. You kind of want to see good players go out on a high note, but it seems like you said the league put him on injured reserve today because they thought he was going to be done.
Yeah. The league came back and said, okay, before you put on injured reserve, we want to take a look at him too. Because I can see where they're coming from, because a lot of people have accused Chicago of trying to basically bury cap space.
Yep.
By putting players on injury reserve.
Yeah.
They haven't done that before.
I mean, give credit. Stan Bowman is good at his job. He's a very good GM, and if he can work around it, if anybody's going to, if David Poyle doesn't do it, Stan Bowman's going to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at some of the other IRs, though, quite interesting that a former Preds player.
Yeah, James Neal got put on IR.
He's on IR now, starting off his career with the Vegas Knights right. So, obviously stems from the hand injury that he suffered on our team. So we just gave someone to the Vegas. Gave them our problem. Did they mention a specific timetable on return?
No, the Golden Knights, all they did was tweet. They said the Golden Knights have placed for James Neal on the injured non-roster list. Probably his hand still.
Yeah, ruining that glorious home opener against the, Coyotes? A game that they could potentially win.
Come on, the Coyotes aren't doing anything this year. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as Matt likes them. Yeah.
There's a couple of teams that aren't doing anything this year. And I think the Coyotes and the Avalanche are part of that group. So.
Well, you know one team that got sexier?
Oh, God. Who is it, Kyle?
Well, I should say they got hotter.
Whoa.
Calgary Flames picked up Jaromir Jagr.
They're lit right now.
I think it's still unofficial, but I like
it's official.
Is it?
It's official.
Okay. Kyle said so, Matt.
That's official right. Now.
It's official.
If it's on the internet, or if I say it's true.
It's 100% factual.
Well, if they have officially, I think it's officially listed that he will play, but the details of the contract haven't been finalized.
I think they're saying it's a million. Yeah, million a year.
It's a million. Yeah. It's a 1 year, one God, million Matt. Plus a million performance.
Well, where? Oh yeah. Where am I?
Duh.
At? Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, 1 year plus a one.
Man,
yeah,
you must
have
been under a rock last 2 days.
Well,
he's been dealing with a broke phone, so.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I heard that. Okay, I'm
wrong. Yeah, it's one mil with the 1 mil incentive. It's 111.
Well, so. Speaking of millions, didn't somebody get a nice contract?
Yeah, quite substantial.
You mean because of the bar Connor McDavid set so freaking high?
Talking about Jack Eichel.
I know. He has Connor McDavid to thank for that high number he got.
What was his contract, Kyle? What did he get?
He got a $10 million deal for 8 years.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think they overpaid him just a bit.
I think it's
overpaid.
And we're starting to see the league move towards that superstar status where they're paying one player an extremely high amount in the cap space. And I think that's going to come back to bite them in the long run, where other teams are going away from it. More in particular, the Predators have stayed away from this, and I cannot be any happier with that decision. Like, Poyle's
a wizard.
Poyle, as far as his contracts this year, I thought did an incredible job. He got a little flack on the Arvey deal, but let me say, if Arvey starts or keeps producing 25 or 30 points, you know, consistently, that $4 million a year is going to look really darn good, five years from now.
And that was a little risky, but they talk about maybe overpaying. When you make such good moves, you can afford to overpay where you want because you have room for it. That's how you end up with $6 million
in cap space. And we're going into the season, and that's a very Poyle move. We'll start the season, kind of gauge where we're at, and then midway we'll be like, hey, Colorado, you want to give us Duchesne finally?
He's not leaving.
No,
he's not leaving.
I don't think he's leaving.
I don't think he's leaving at all, to be quite honest, because Sakic sucks.
Side note. Not on the docket, but just because we brought it up, and I was thinking about today. Duchesne is probably going to stay in Colorado, which everybody knows.
Yes.
How well do you think he's actually going to play? Think about it like this. We all work a job. If we hate our job, our production is nowhere near as good as it would be if we love our job. Same thing for him.
Same thing. He didn't have an outstanding year last year, and now this year on top of it, how mad you're going to be, like you said, he's not going to do very good.
Similar thing happened to Johansson on the Blue Jackets. Sat him down for a couple games, and they weren't happy.
Well,
the coaching staff wasn't
Torts happy. Was like, I don't think Torts cared for him to begin with.
No, he didn't, but that's the thing. If you're not happy with the situation, you're going to play bad, and then Joey comes here and has an incredible assist year, right off the bat, and now he signs a $8 million contract for our number one center position. So you're a product of your environment. I do not think Duchesne is going to have a spectacular year. I think he's going to put up decent numbers just for his teammates.
I'm at the point.
To maybe get them to have like 30 wins, maybe.
I'm at the point of saying Colin Wilson will play better for the Avalanche than Matt Duchene
will.
Oh,
my God. Woo.
Because,
I don't know if I go that far.
Well, because Colin Wilson wanted a fresh start.
No, you know why, Kyle?
That is true. He definitely needed to get out of here, that's for sure. He's going to have a fresh start there. He will do better there.
You know what, Kyle? He's not going to have decent performance. You know why? Because Colorado is not going to make the playoffs, and he is playoff Wilson. He's not going to do anything.
Well, maybe he can bring that playoff magic with him.
No.
And surprise us.
No, no. They're not making the playoffs. No.
But that does give us a good point. Who do you think is going to be the worst team this year in the league?
Colorado.
I agree.
I mean, I just don't see him getting any better. And I think the Duchene thing just proved it's the nail in the coffin.
They were historically bad last year, and you just made your best player mad, and he's going to have worse production than that. So I don't anticipate them getting much better. I think they're still going to be the worst team in the league this year. What about you, Kyle?
It was a toss-up between the Devils and the Avalanche.
Oh.
It was a toss-up between a couple.
Man, the Devils are going to be bad. The Avalanche are going to be bad. The Canucks don't look that far off.
The Canucks
maybe
have a team?
Maybe Coyotes. But the sad part is, I don't even think the Golden Knights are going to be, I think they're going to be like 25th on my list or something.
I think the Knights will have a decent season.
Well, they're going
to
have
good goaltending. Rest of the players in their division, I think they're going to be better than the Canucks. I think they're going to definitely be better than the Coyotes.
We'll see where it pans out.
I don't know
out.
About better than the Coyotes. We'll see. They're hanging around. They're bottom dwellers, but I think the Avalanche are going to be scraping.
Coyotes
the
are scavengers.
Oh,
well good done. One, Kyle. All I know is I kept seeing this meme online of Jagr's hair with the flame logo.
It looked good. I would own that.
I'm not going to lie. Looked awesome.
I would definitely own that.
Jagr's hair anyways, but I'm pretty excited that he got a contract. Good to see him for at least another season. I really don't know if that's going to help the Flames in their crusade for a playoff run and stuff, but veteran leadership.
I'm trying to think of a good, flame fire pun, and it just isn't coming. No. I need to go phone a friend real quick.
You're not a firebender, Kyle. So, but that said, we actually had some off-season moves as well. And how are we feeling about those now? As far as, Bonino, Hartnell, or maybe even Emelin from the Knights, because that's kind of interesting, because we get one of our players, and he's on the injury reserve, and at least we have a player that's playable right now.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way, in a comparison. Who do you think was the best acquisition offseason? Was it Emelin or was it Bonino? I asked Justin this the other day too on Twitter.
100% Bonino.
100%.
I think it's Bonino.
Y'all seem very decisive about that.
What does the guru owner Matt say?
I could go either way. Really.
I know you like defensemen, but you aren't too keen on Emelin.
Well, we're not. Yeah,
you are not
no prize
keen.
Possession.
Yeah, you are not keen on him during.
I think Bonino was the better acquisition.
Okay,
but I could see making a case for either one of them just because of the Ellis being hurt and him stepping in.
Okay, now at the time you gave that you were like, oh, Emelin, why do we get him? Blah blah blah, and then the Ellis injury was made public afterwards, and then Poyle was sitting over here looking like a freaking king, like. I knew this all along. Haha. I mean, it's just kind of like part of his magic that he works. But go ahead, Kyle.
I don't think Emelin was the best pickup. I think he was more of a stopgap.
Yeah. He wasn't like something you write home about, but it helped.
I could honestly say when Ellis comes back, I could see Emelin being scratched.
I could see him as an extra.
I don't know about being scratched.
I could see him as a healthy scratch sitting in the press box on games.
He's an extra. I feel, but we'll see.
I think he'll take Weber's spot.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
So the bottom pair would be Erwin Emelin, which,
yes, that's what I think.
Not bad. I mean, that's a decent bottom pair right there.
I mean, the only thing I see about Emelin is he brings a very physical presence. He's not afraid to fight it up.
He is tearing it up in that open.
Do we need that? We've already got Cody McLeod on the fourth line doing that. Do we need that same type of presence on the D pairs too?
Yeah, but that's a winger, and this is a D-man. So, I mean, you could argue you could have the physical, presence on both. So,
and do you think Bonino was our best pickup because center depth is what exposed us in the finals?
Yes.
Everyone saw that once we lost Joey. Our down the middle was pretty bare.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Sissons stepping up.
No offense against Sissons. He did the best he could, and I think he duly got rewarded with the hat trick. He did what he could. but we need a better presence in center.
Yeah, Bonino, out of which player would you rather have regardless of position roster? Bonino is definitely a better player than Emlyn, so I'd much rather have him just as generally speaking anyway.
For sure, for sure.
But another acquisition we had was Scott Hartnell. So put it this way, who do you think is going to have more points this year between Bonino and Scott Hartnell?
I think Hartnell.
Really? I kind of make a play for yes and a play for no. Granted, Hartnell scored in the preseason, looked pretty good. I mean, that shot on net was just a ridiculous angle.
Yes, it was.
I mean, absolutely insane. That said, he's going to have that really big physical presence up front. He's going to get, as Matt would say, those junkyard dog goals. And, like, having Hartnell back is, like, so reminiscent for me in my childhood because, like, he used to be on our team when I was much younger, you know, watching.
You've been like a kid at Christmas ever since we got him back.
I have been because, I mean, that was my childhood. Some of the players that I used to see growing up and going to the games. So having him back, I think he's going to be a really big and much-needed physical presence in front of the net that we were missing last year. That said, I think that opens up the way for Bonino to have more points because I think Bonino, given the extra ice time, will produce accordingly, kind of like when he stepped up the second in Pittsburgh after their injuries. And not to mention, you're surrounding him with decent players to begin with. You're surrounding Bonino with a Fiala, with a strong physical presence in front of the net, like Hartnell, who can throw those screens up to block goaltenders' visions. So I think it's going to be a give and take. They'll probably be pretty close on point production, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at their stats last year. They both actually scored 37 points.
Look at that.
So I anticipate that being very similar again this year because you're putting them on the same line. I'm going to give Bonino the slight edge just because he's the center and will likely touch the puck a little more. But they're going to play into each other, so they're both going to have similar stats.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think they're going to feed on each other. Yeah, that's going to be a more physical, like in your face, like, you know, pound at home line. But then again, you're going to also have Fiala, who has incredible speed and can, you know, whip around the net on tight angles and get those crazy shots. So Fiala looked fantastic in the preseason. So I'm excited to see that kid play this year.
You know what I'm excited for right now?
What are you excited for, Kyle?
I'm excited that we can give our final top five of the preseason before we get into the regular season.
I've been waiting for this one all preseason long. Because now I know next week's is going to be actual season talk.
We are done with the preseason, finally.
Finally. We have more content to talk about. So
let's get started. All so right. This is our top five preseason predictions. And as we always do, I will go first.
Now, is this league-wide or just Predators, Kyle?
Kind of all over the board.
Okay. I'm all over the board, too. So just had to check. So
just because... I was like, I could do five things about the Preds, but I think it's more interesting to do five things about the league.
Oh, there's a couple predictions that I'm interested to see from Matt and you. So go ahead.
So number five, Dallas is going to crash and burn.
Burn, man.
Wow.
Woo, they're going to burn up on re-entry.
They have only made, and I can't believe I'm correctly wrong on this or not.
Correctly wrong?
Yes,
that's
incorrectly wrong. Yes. So let me just double check my note here. So they won their Stanley Cup in 98. And they've only made the playoffs twice in the last nine seasons.
Oh, man.
That's terrible. And they were 29th in the league in goals allowed. Basically goals against. Why were they? Terrible goaltending with Leighton and Amy. Daniel and I saw poor Leighton almost die.
Yeah, he took one right where it counts. So
took a Shea bomb right to the midsection, and we legit thought he was dead.
Yeah, I thought it hit him like in the neck from our point of view, but went a little lower, and that cup saved his life.
So Dallas decided that they were going to fix their goaltending. So what they do? They go out and get Ben Bishop from the Bolts / Kings, because I'm really not counting the Kings, because he was kind of there for that playoff push. That was it.
That lasted long.
They picked up Radulov from the Canadiens, because Radulov was like, I'm going to give it a one-year deal with the Canadiens, and Dallas is like, hey, come on down. They lost one of the Ben twins, and they got Martin Hansel and Mark Methot. Great additions, is still going to suck.
Here's the deal with Dallas, and this is what rubs me each year. They don't make the playoffs, and they decide to burn the whole system down. Like, we have a perfectly good ship. We might be able to make some improvements to the ship to keep moving on, you know, maybe make the playoffs in a year or two, maybe, like, farm like other teams. Nope, we didn't get any results. Fire the coach. That guy's out. Let's get another goaltender. And we're using every ounce of our salary cap before we even get to the first game.
They don't
even
have...
And they literally reorganize their entire team. And I feel like every year they have to reset their chemistry.
They don't give people enough time. You're talking about cap space. They don't even have enough cap space to sign Matt's mom.
That's bad.
I mean, I looked at it earlier. They're about $600,000 and some change in cap space. That's it.
Yeah, they're not making any more
moves.
That's
bad cap management.
Well, they did make a lot of offseason moves. And another thing you mentioned, they got a new coach. You didn't mention they got a new coach in there. But they did try to supplement their weaknesses on defense. You mentioned they brought in a few
more
players.
Okay, it's Ken Hitchcock.
Well, we've seen this before in times past where they do big offseason moves and they're like, oh my God, they're going to do great. And they don't make a big push.
I've seen power rankings having them at like 2, and I'm like, what the?
No.
I'm like, no, but just because you sign a bunch of names doesn't mean you have chemistry at all.
They did sign a bunch of names. I think they're going to improve. They're not going to crash and burn. They're not going to be number 2, but they're going to get a little better. But so I'm going to have to disagree. I don't think they're going to crash and burn.
If they make the playoffs, first round exit.
I could see that. It's just funny because it's like an all or nothing mentality with them. It's like, oh, this team didn't work. Let's fire all of them.
Well,
and get a new team in.
You got to think the creativity of their goal chant is simply just chanting Dallas Stars, so I don't have much hope for them.
Yeah, it's pretty dismal. So, all right, that leads me to one of my preseason predictions, and this one revolves around the Preds and the Central Division on where I think they're actually going to end up. Because, by the way, if people like stats, probably shouldn't go looking for Central Division projections this year, because I've literally found everything from the Preds ending up at 7th, not going to happen,
yeah,
to 1st. And I'm like, this is a direct result showing that the Central is going to be so tight, and I literally think it's going to come down to the last game to jockey for position. And that said, I think the Predators are going to finish 2nd in the division, not 1st. A lot of people are saying 1st, blah, 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 blah. No, 2nd in the division, I think it's a step up. If we can start winning a couple of those overtime games that absolutely just crushed us last year, we will be 2nd. Yeah, Kyle's raising his hands. But, I mean, really, if we just win, if you win overtime games according to your win percentage, like in the like your overall win percent, which we did not. I think we were like 20-30% in OT last year, but we still won like 65% of the games. We win like 55% of OT. Great improvement. We're already bumping up 1 or 2 slots. So that said, I do not think we finish 1st. I think we finish 2nd. I don't think we're built kind of for that overtime strategy in the playoffs. I think we finish 2nd. So I think I'm conservative. I'm right in the middle. So
that's fair. Well, I'll give you another one. My number 5 for this week, I think that the Capitals are going to have a regression. They lost a lot of pieces this offseason.
Kyle.
I know that hurts you to hear, Kyle.
Right in the heart.
I'm getting tired of them winning the president's trophy. I'm tired of them being the best team. They're going to have a regression. I don't care. They lost way too many pieces. They're done.
You know, I have to kind of agree with that, to be honest.
Who wins the President's Trophy, though? Is that someone else's prediction?
I don't want to say it. I don't have a prediction, but I don't want to even say it.
Oh, the Pittsburgh Penguins? Is that what you're going to say?
There is a pretty good chance that they're going to.
Oh, man.
And I don't want to say it because it hurts my heart.
Oh. You don't want Sidney Crosby to get the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup again?
No. If anything, I do not want them to three-peat. Screw that. That is boring.
Go ahead, Kyle, and your number 4.
Wow. All right, my number 4 is interesting here. I have picked that the Carolina Hurricanes make the playoffs.
Wow.
That's a jump.
That That's a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction for a team that's more than likely a bubble team.
Does this have anything to do with Justin Williams going down there?
Part of it.
And so, I mean, I like Justin Williams, but I don't know if he brings that much to the team.
I mean, they picked up Justin Williams. Scott Darlin took off for Carolina. Trevor Van Riemsdyk also went with him as part of the deal. So I think they'll do good. They've improved significantly in the offseason.
They didn't sell.
Yeah, they didn't burn. They didn't sell. And I think that they'll probably end up fourth in the Metro. Fourth in the Metro.
The Metro are strong, bro.
They are very strong.
They're strong.
This is why I say bubble. Because more than likely, if the Metro is as strong again this year as it was last year, they're going to send five teams to the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I think that Carolina can make that.
Maybe, but that's a big if.
They better be chewing some double bubble if they're a bubble team, because I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, because come on, you know the Penguins are going back. You know the Capitals are going to make it back. You know that the Blue Jackets are going to try to make that push for it again.
I don't think the Blue Jackets are going to be as good this year as they were last year. You're not going to have a ridiculous streak, a win streak like you did last year.
No, you got Panarin on the team now.
So that's going to help.
Yeah, Matt Smiling, cheesing, but...
And so I think it's possible that Carolina can kind of like sneak in there at the last moment and make it. That is if.
I don't know.
Now, if it ends up... Now, if the Atlantic and the Metro are much tighter, then I don't think Carolina will make it.
I think it really depends on the Atlantic, really. I think the Metro is pretty solid. You know three teams from the Metro obviously are just probably almost ins. That's the Penguins, the Capitals, and the Blue Jackets. And then after that, it's kind of going to be jockeying for position as far as, you know.
You know, we're talking about just bold predictions, so I was like, well, just go bold.
That is bold indeed, Kyle.
What is your number four?
So number four, I'm kind of keeping it close to home here. And I kind of alluded this in the main portion of our podcast, but I think there's one player on our roster that just has a bad year. And that's Craig Smith. I'm sorry.
You mean to say he has a good year, right?
No. He has a bad year. He did not look like someone who had the drive and the motivation last year to put up the numbers that he is getting paid for. He's getting paid third-line money with a fourth-line production, as we said. I'm interested to see how that pans out this year. I'm desperately hoping Sissons and Salty bring his level game up and kind of get him motivated, because he's just looked too stagnant for too long, and you can tell. And I think this is a make-or-break year for him as far as staying on with the team. So,
you think so?
I really do. He's been slacking off, and he's making too much money for that kind of performance.
Looking at his stats here, for the 15-16 season, he had 21 goals. For 16-17 season, he only had 12.
Yeah, that's
quite a production drop.
It's bad. So he was injured a little bit, but he wasn't injured bad enough for that harsh of a drop off. So we'll see what happens. But
four games is
my prediction. Yeah,
that's a four game difference.
No, that's unexcusable. That's just a complete drop off in performance. And we'll see what happens in this year. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. That's not far of a stretch. I'm waiting on you guys to drop the hot takes.
Oh, hold on.
But
we got
I haven't heard anything that crazy yet.
1 through 3.
But my number four, I am going to say the Blackhawks are going to take a step back this year. This is finally the year they're going to start regressing.
I think everybody knows that.
And they lost Breadman. They lost Panarin. I don't care who they got back. Don't matter.
They made that feeble attempt to get that championship band back together. It's, you know, a year or two can make a difference.
Yeah, I think the time has elapsed on them. They've been a staple for so long, but that window is closing, and you will see that this year. They will take a step back for sure. Now, they're not going off the map or nothing, but I have seen some predictions that are going off the map. Actually, EA Sports recently released their simulation of where the teams are, who will win the cup, and they have, in the Central, they have Chicago at 6th out of 7.
Wow.
They have them dropping way off the
now,
map.
That is
I
a,
don't
that's
know
a hot
about
take
that.
For a simulation.
Yeah, I was like, man, that's...
Who do they have winning? Are in the finals.
They have the Lightning and the Oilers, I believe. They've got the Lightning winning.
I could see the Oilers. Lightning, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Their team has to stay healthy if they're going to get that far.
Very healthy.
I thought that was a bit of a stretch. They got them falling off the map. I've got them regressing, which everybody pretty much does, but I don't have them going that far away. So that's my number four.
All right, Kyle. Number three.
My number three, it's very simple. We've kind of already touched on it. Matt did earlier. I don't think the Penguins are going to three-peat. Statistically, it's impossible. I mean,
impossible.
It's improbable.
Highly improbable.
The math does not compute.
Yeah.
To the point that it's pretty much impossible.
It's basically like rolling 6-3 times in a row. The math simply cannot be done. It's a big inside joke for us.
I mean, you got to think, like, they lost Trevor Daley, Ron Hainsley, Mark Streep,
Bonino.
Yeah.
Cullen.
And
they got Fleury, got sent off to the Knights. I've heard people describe these players that they lost as like not key core players, but just more as piece players. That's fine, but these guys all brought something to your team. And you basically got the point now where you're kind of like, we've won two cups. Awesome. All these free agents came around, and their GM even told them, he's like, go test the free agency and come back if you want. And a lot of them didn't come back. So I think they've reached that point where I'm not going to go out on a limb and say the Penguins are a dynasty. I think it's highly improbable that they will three-peat. And that being said, I'm not sure who I would pick to win yet. I got to think about it.
I think this year's cup is definitely more up for grabs than last year's. I mean,
I would love to say that the Preds are going to grab it. But we'll see what happens.
It's too early. These are preseason, so we're sitting here speculating all the way into almost, you know, June at this point. And ironically enough, I'll just go ahead and throw that out there. I did not have the Penguins winning the cup. That was my number three, so way to steal it, Kyle. Kind of just to back yours up without repeating some of the stuff, I feel like they lost a lot of that depth that if they do have a key injury, they're not going to be able to sub someone in as quickly and have the same results that they had. Kind of like in goaltending, they were able to swap off two world-class goalies. I mean, who can say that? No other team could. And that's one reason why the Knights lucked out in the expansion draft when he was available. So that said, I don't think they three-peat because the target – if the target was high last year to knock off the defending champs, the target is that much higher to knock off the team from the three-peat. But that's it. I'm still undecided on who actually wins the cup.
Well, I'll draw a nice parallel for you. Kyle mentioned they lost so many pieces, and while they didn't say they were core players, how many pieces does it take until it changes? You know, there might not be core, but they comprise a certain percentage, and you're switching out a pretty good percentage of your players. And I draw a reference to Chicago when they did this. They lost a few players after winning a couple cups. Oh, it's no big deal. We can do it without them. Well, you know, it lost something. That's why they're trying to get it back together. They're trying to get those pieces. So the Penguins losing a couple of those, they might not be key core players, sure, but it does detract in some way. And I think you're right. They're going to be missing some of those pieces this year.
As far as the depth and just plug in, you know, and like I said, both teams, actually, ironically enough, Nashville and Pittsburgh were injured going into the finals. Key players. I would argue that Nashville had more injuries than the Penguins as far as key players. I mean, our number one center goes down. I mean, that alone is terrible, but Bonino was out. I mean, you had other players out on the Penguins, but I just don't think they're going to have that depth this year. I don't think they repeat. So.
Right. Well, my number three, bring it to the Predators for a minute. I have them finishing the Central at third place.
Very close to what I did.
Which is fair.
I flip back and forth in between third and second myself. So you're right on line.
Right. I don't think it's not likely, like how the EA had Chicago dropping to seventh in the Central. They finished first in the Central. That's a huge drop from first to sixth. I'm sorry, seventh. To sixth. They're out of seven. They've dropped to six.
Okay.
It's not likely that happens. Usually a team might jump one, maybe two. So keeping consistent. Like you said, they made it to the cup, but that doesn't mean that they're that caliber of a team, like first seed. They're not first seed. They were a wild card seed, and that's a much larger sample size of games. They made a couple offseason moves, but you know, they might take just a slight bump up. And last year, they finished fourth in the Central, and I got them bumped up to third. So that's certainly reasonable. Maybe second, maybe if you're feeling frisky.
Well, I think once that it's going to come down to the last one or two games.
It's going
to
be so tight.
I think it's going to be so tight that you might have to wait to the last one to two games for that second or third seed to come up. So it's really so close in the Central that I don't think it's going to matter that much, but the seeding will matter for us, because if we can get out of the wild card spot just to get a couple more home games for the playoffs, like you said, the seeding does matter. You do not want to be going against that number one seed.
Yeah, number one thing, I don't want to place a first seed team. I do not want to be
wild card. Do not put us in wild card. I know that's the guy's goal this year. Get out of the wild card slot. Good things are, you know, like good things will happen because we're not in the wild card slot. That gives you statistically the better chance to get to the further rounds in the playoffs. So let's go ahead and make that step this year, get out of that wild card spot. And I think our team is more built for the playoffs. Like we've said before, I don't like the whole 3-on-3. Cause if we get to overtime and we're still playing 5-on-5, I feel pretty good. Regular season, we get to overtime, I do not feel good. I'm ready to hit the exit, cause I know we're about to get 1 point. So that said, it's one of those get to the playoffs, anything can happen, but I want that higher seed.
Right. So, yeah, I've got them bumping up from fourth in the Central to third in the Central this year. That's my number three, Kyle.
Cool deal. My number two is revolved around the Preds. Get my one Preds-centric preseason
only
prediction.
Only one? That's surprising.
I'm going to say that Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson both eclipse the 30-goal mark again this year.
Both. Okay.
So they both do it.
Repeat.
Yep. So you had Forsberg for the past 2 years has had 33 and 31 goals the last 2 years. And then Victor Arvidsson came out with 31 goals last season, up from his measly 8 the season before. Of course, he had about 24 more games to add into it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So I think it's going to happen. I think, you know, having them on that Jofa line, I know some people don't like the word Jofa. In fact, there are some people on Twitter who say they will never say it.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool acronym.
It's an easy way to say the whole line without saying Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Johansson. Jofa. You know exactly what we're talking about already.
I think Willie Donahue make it?
I don't know where it came from.
I think
that's
going
to be some good research. We're going to find out this week.
I think it was him and did it. Yeah, there's nothing more to it. That's the prediction that they're going to be. Well, I mean, you got to look at it too. You take look at shooting percentage wise. Arvidsson was the most impressive. So for 15-16, his shooting percentage was 5.8%. Okay. Then you get to 16-17, which is the year he just blew the gates out of the water.
Yes. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
Blew the gates out of the water. Yep. 12.6%.
That's incredible. That's
double.
Huge, yeah.
And then you got Forsberg, who's just chilling over here like it's nothing, going at 13.4 and 13.2%.
Here's the deal.
Even with his slow start.
I'm just about to say, if that mug can come out of the gate in the first 2 months and score just a couple goals, you know how much better our team is for it? I mean, seriously, he has struggled so bad in the first 2 months. And it's like,
Once he hits it, I know.
Once he hits it, he turns it on. He's super streaky, but he actually got, you know, a goal and looked good in the preseason, which is a great sign. And it was towards the end of the preseason, so he was facing more like first line talent. So I'm like, dude, just keep it. Just give us average numbers in the first 2 months, and that's gonna help our record out so much. And I mean, average numbers in the first 2 months, and we're a better team at the end of the year because of it. Just saying. That's a little sidebar to yours, but...
Well, that's a good segue to what your number two is.
All right. Number two, that kind of stole my thunder.
As he always does.
Chicago is not going to finish number one. And they're not finishing sixth or whatever sports simulation that was, whatever crap that was. I mean, I'm not a Chicago fan, but I'm sorry. they're still a championship caliber team. You know, they're not going to drop that far from grace. I feel like fourth is probably where they'll end up.
If they fall lower than fourth, they're going to sacrifice Tommy Hawk.
That's
the mascot.
Yeah, if they go lower than four, they're burning everything. Chicago will burn down again in another great fire. It's just, it's unacceptable for them at this time. I do think that Minnesota will finish first in our division.
I agree.
That's a bonus prediction, but I am going to say Minnesota number one. And then the Preds and Blues are going to be fighting for 2 and 3, Chicago 4. But that said, I think 2, 3, and 4 are going to be like literally the tightest race. I think it's going to be Minnesota, then a couple point drop, and then you're going to have 2, 3, and 4 literally like 1 or 2, 3 points away from each other, and it's going to take to the last game to decide who jumps.
That middle section.
I really think
that middle,
it's going to be brutal in 2, 3, and 4.
That long avalanche to the bottom.
A long slide.
Like a ski jump. But yeah, they'll get to hit the off season much quicker and hit the slopes early. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, my number two, we talked about it briefly already, is that I want to talk about Dallas. I think they are they're going to make the biggest jump. If there's a team that's going to make a big difference.
We got, okay, just to point out the stat simulation in our group already. He's saying crash and burn. Kyle's saying crash and burn. And then Matt's saying the biggest jump. That just goes to show you how in flux the Central Division is this year. So,
well, we talk about off-season roster changes affect the regular season. That's a big way it's going to change. Teams don't generally move too high up. They might jump one spot, maybe two. But with the amount of off-season work they've done, they have probably the chance at making the most difference. So if there's a team I'm going to keep my eye on to making that jump, it's probably going to be Dallas. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to finish second, but if there's a team that has a chance to make a jump, it's them because of their offseason moves. Now, we've seen it before, but this time it might click.
Where do they land? Wild card?
I've got them finishing fifth.
Okay.
So they finished sixth last year. I've got them jumping one up.
So wild card. You think they're going to make a wild card?
Maybe.
Okay, that makes sense. I could see that too, just because I liked some of their acquisitions this year better than their barn, you know, like burn the whole thing last year and the year before. I think Radulov and Bishop were two really good acquisitions for them.
Bishop's their saving grace. Their goaltending has been atrocious.
Literally saving grace.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, I'm really interested in Mark Bethot, but that's not a shocker. He's defense. So
yeah,
that's par for my course.
Yeah, all about
wow.
it.
Wow. So. All right, Kyle, let's hear your dumb number one.
Wow.
Where's the hot takes at? It's got to be it right here.
Oh, I will say this: you guys have been dancing all over my number one.
Just dancing on it.
Literally. Okay, so I have not told these guys I'm a number one at all.
Good. Oh God. I hope it upsets me so much.
Dude, I want to hear it fresh on the mic.
It's not. So earlier at work today, during my downtime, I composed the central division. My central division rankings.
Like preseason rank, like where they're gonna
one through seven, where they're gonna end up for the year. So let's just go through this.
Oh
list.
My God! Start at seven.
The Avs.
Shocker.
Yeah. I'd agree.
We totally we're 1 for 1 right now. Go ahead.
7, the Jets.
Okay, 2 for 2.
I'm there with
we're right there. Now this is where it gets interesting, right?
Yep. Number 5, Stars.
Hey, I'm there. Man, we are sneaking.
We're pretty good right now, Kyle. I thought this was a
no, it's kind of crazy just the mindset. 4 is the Hawks.
Wow, I said the Hawks at 4
you
too.
You said 4.
Yeah.
I'm higher on them.
You're
but
3, but still.
Blues at 3.
Man, and I said the Predators in 2.
I've got Preds at 2 and Wild at 1.
Dude, Kyle and I is full mind sync right now.
I mean, it was the most obvious.
Now, that's some stats that we can back up right there. 2.
That was the most obvious fallen of the teams because of how tight that race is.
And we say this, and I guarantee you 2 through 4 is going to be a bloodbath in the last week. The last week of the league is going to be a slaughter.
That's Yeah, 2, 3, and 4, I think, falls within 3, maybe 4 points of each other.
I mean, the variance is almost, it's just a margin of error at this point. Yeah. So
probably less than that, really.
That's why I think we're seeing so much variation in the predictions for stats this year. It's going to be so tight.
There's so many little players that they go, oh, this could cause that and cause that. No, the fall of Ryan Ellis does not mean we're going to drop down to 7th. Well, I am not putting our team between the Avalanche and the Jets.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, if you put it in a positive light, he's out for 2 months or so. Well, y'all guys didn't even play for the first 2 months last year, so that's just par for the course. So.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to have the injuries, have it now.
Yeah.
It's exactly like last year again. So just get it out of your system. We'll regroup for the playoffs. So that's my mentality.
All right, Daniel, you're number one.
Number one. All right. I'm picking our number one breakout player of the year for the Predators.
On the Preds.
I want to guess.
And that is going to be.
Let me guess first.
Now, you know. Don't give me that.
Kyle Joseph's still the Thunder.
I know, right?
This is my number one, Kyle. Okay, listen here.
Fine.
It's going to be Kevin Fiala.
Do it.
With a bold prediction of 25 goals. It's bold, I know, but just looking at the man during the freaking preseason, he was all over the ice, scoring goals, getting to the spots he needed to be, generating the offense. Be quite honest, he probably could have had a couple more goals, too. He looked good in the shootout, too, which is desperately needed for us.
Yeah, yes, that yes. Shootout goal of his
he's sick,
was awesome.
Sick. I mean, and that was some of the quickest handles. He's like left, right, back, pulled it back to him, and then top shelfed it over the goal. I was like, yes, that's what we need.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he's young and just feisty. And now what he has more importantly is he has more experience and he has the confidence. And you can tell that he's got more confidence going into this year because of that playoff run. And it's crazy to think, though, that he comes back from a femur being shattered literally like 3 months ago. And he looks good, if not better, than what he did last year. But he's got that confidence and that swag now going into it. I'm just surprised you're saying 25
because he only scored 11 last season.
How many games did he play?
54 games.
Okay. And he was getting better as the season went on. I'm telling you, 25.
Okay.
What's his number of games?
Do you have the preseason stats on him?
Let's see here. Preseason.
Look at this.
And not to mention, he's playing likely with Hartnell and Bonino, two bosses.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to bring him up too. And talk about awesome experience. This kid, when was he born?
He was born in 96.
Oh my goodness. And he's getting to play with Bonino and Hartnell on a second line in the NHL. He's going to be good. I'm telling you, he's our breakout player this year.
Five games, three goals.
Not bad. I'm telling you. He stays healthy. And
he keeps looking at that.
25 goals is reachable, if not even higher. But I'm just going to say 25 because he has no track record. So 25 plus. I'm taking the plus on the 25, not the under. And I really think he can hit it. I really think he can hit it with him being on the second line this year.
All right. Well, another piece of information I found, I looked at the EA Sports where they ran the simulation, and what I briefly saw a glimpse of was they had Detroit at the very bottom of the league.
Boom.
And I quickly glanced at it, and I kept scrolling. I said, I don't believe it. No, they were definitely wrong on that. I'm not going to believe that. But you know a team I do believe in this year? My number one I've got is Connor McDavid is going to win the Art Ross Trophy again this year.
Okay.
He's going to have the most points, and he is the player to watch. I'm just waiting for him to win the cup. I probably put my money on the Oilers to win the cup this year.
I'm waiting for Matt to come in one day with his McDavid jersey.
No, I think we're past that.
Guess what? Now that McDavid's getting popular, he'll be the league's golden boy in a year or two.
Yeah, I looked at him. I could see that this is happening. I can see him winning a cup. I could see it happening last year. It didn't happen. So this time I'm thinking, all right, I'm putting my money, preseason prediction. I'm going to put it's Connor McDavid's show. He's going to win the Art Ross Trophy. I think they might win the cup.
What happens if the Preds and the Oilers meet in the playoffs?
Oh, my God. That would be a dream.
That'd be awesome.
First of all, that's a dream Western Conference Finals for me. I would absolutely freaking love that. I would Love to see that. And you know what? I kind of, this might be unpopular. How sweet would the satisfaction would be if we go back to the finals and it's Pittsburgh again and we somehow can end up beating them?
You're one a nightmare. That would be everybody's nightmare.
Everyone's nightmare? You mean everyone's dream for a rematch? First of all, the league would love it because, one, it's the Penguins and Sid the Kid. That's already like, they want them.
We're technically getting our rematch Saturday.
True. They get to go to Nashville, which that was the big hot top. Oh, look at this emerging market. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Actually,
we're back. Oh,
we'll be going to Pittsburgh Saturday.
Yeah. And then on top of it, you have some of the storylines with the Crosby PK thing from last year. You have Bonino swapping. You have Bonino swapping sides. Yeah. Which, how sweet would it be for a rematch to happen, which hasn't happened in a long time? I think it was who was the last Stanley Cup Finals rematch? Was it Detroit and
I don't know.
I don't know off the top of my head.
That said, you have those storylines. How sweet would it be if Bonino swapped the fence and then won the cup on the other side for his third straight title on a different team on a rematch? That'd be pretty sweet. There's a lot of storylines that would make a rematch in the finals very special and very satisfactory for Preds fans. But I would love, that would be my dream matchup going to the finals, is having the Oilers and the Preds matched up.
I think this year, I don't even want to see Penguins in the finals. I would love it if the Capitals knocked them out this year. That would be what
That's
I would
not
like
happening,
to see.
Matt, according to your fall from grace.
I just would like to see it. The Capitals are getting beat up in the second round all the time by them. Capitals are a much better team than getting knocked out so early. They just happen to go against the best team in the league just because of the way it lines up. So I would like to see them just take a step farther. And not that I care about the Capitals like Kyle does. I'm tired of seeing the Penguins. I don't want to see them in the finals. I don't want to rematch. I don't even want to look at them. That's the way I view it.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, too. I just, whatever, be done.
I have a feeling the Penguins are going to be back in the finals.
Don't say it.
It's just, it's so, you said it yourself earlier.
I know.
You can't even deny
the fact.
Well, I
didn't say they'd be in the finals. I said they would be the likely President's Trophy winner this year. Maybe.
We all know.
Which leads to other good things.
Yeah. We all know whoever wins the President's Trophy gets knocked out in the second round.
You know what's funny is they'll win the President's Trophy this year, still go up against the Capitals, and still beat the Capitals. Because the Capitals can't solve the Penguins' problem. So.
Look, I'm a Capitals fan as well, and I have to agree, they're just cursed.
Yeah, they just can't get over the hump with
that. If there's any team that has a nightmare, it's the Capitals playing the Penguins whenever. So. All right, guys, well, I think that does it for the week. We went through quite a bit. I will say this is our final preseason episode. Next time you hear from us, which should be in a couple of weeks, we'll be well into the regular season. We will be back with some recaps of the games. Hopefully the Preds will be on a winning record.
We'll see, Kyle. This is the first month. We don't show up for October, so
this is true. We play our first game Thursday against Boston, then we're gonna go play Pittsburgh on Saturday, and then Daniel, gonna be back.
It's going to be glorious, man. No pun intended with the theme song that will probably be played in the arena, but
glorious
it is going to
be
nice.
Glorious played as that banner is raised. We will have our very first Western Conference
that's
championship
special.
Banner.
That's special for us, so that's a big moment for our franchise.
Everybody knows the goal is to now go claim the big trophy and the big banner. Don't know where I was going with that, but hey, big trophy sounds great.
I think it motivates us more than anything.
It does.
I think seeing the Western Conference banner up there means we got close, but you fell short.
Yeah, it's a good reminder
and
motivation.
And I think we'll get onto that in other episodes, but I know Joey had that article that came out, and he said it motivated him big time. He's ready to get the banner up as fast as he can so he can look up and it be a reminder to him and try to motivate the team just to push a little harder to put an even better banner beside it. And when he said that, I was like, that's a good way. That's a good mentality to start the season. Yeah, that's nice. Let's get it up in the rafters quick, but we got work to do.
Definitely. Well, guys, this has been Music City Gold, hosted by Penalty Box Radio. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can find the show at Music City Gold. You can find me at Kyle Hancock. You can find Matt at MattBain31. We have still yet to get Daniel
get
a Twitter.
I will get it. Jeez.
Goodness.
I'm on record.
on record, she will get it. And if you want to drop the show an email, you can reach us at musiccitygold@gmail.com. This has been Music City Gold, hosted by Penalty Box Radio. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you on the ice.